Look at your neighbor and say, grace and peace to you.
Grace and peace to you.
Grace and peace to you. I like that. Well, if you're visiting with us today, I just wanted to bring your attention to the outline that should be right near you somewhere. When you see a line, a yellow word underlined, that's when you want to look on your paper and fill it in today. And as we've been talking about this fall, we're talking about discovering God. This is a daunting task, and I'm blown away at this opportunity to talk about the Lord, because it's a humbling thing to think about, to talk about the Creator of the universe. And we're seeking to discover who God is, and this fall we'll be learning about God's different attributes, what it means for us. It's going to be very practical. I think you'll enjoy it. And today we're going to talk about cultivating a healthy fear of God. And I want to say at the front end, children, are you listening? Children, say amen.
Amen.
Wow. Say it again. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Somebody mentioned to me this past week, and I want to help our children understand some things. I know I can get pretty excited up here sometimes, and I may raise my voice, and it doesn't mean I'm mad at anybody or I'm mean. It simply means I'm getting excited about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Just like when you're on your Xbox and you're getting excited about the game and you start yelling, oh yeah! Well, just imagine playing with Jesus, Xbox with Jesus. Okay, we get excited about God, right? So when I raise my voice, it doesn't mean I'm trying to scare you. It means I'm passionate about it. Okay? Make sense? All right. Let's read the Word of God together. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Proverbs chapter 2. Let's read it together. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry out for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. All right, amen. Be seated. Now I want you to notice something in that text. Look at all of the action words in that. Accept, store, turning, apply, call out, cry aloud, look, search. Look at all the action words in that. It means we got to do something. We got to seek it. All right? So today, as we begin talking about this topic, let's pray together as we begin today. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you so much. We treasure, Father, your commands, as the writer of Proverbs says. We open our hearts, our ears. We ask, Lord, that you will help us in that so that we may know you better. And Lord, today we're crying out this morning for discernment. We are lifting up our voices for understanding and what it means to fear you. Give us a diligent spirit, Lord, that we may seek you as if searching for hidden treasures. Lord, give us that spirit of discernment to understand today. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you correct our misunderstandings today and help us understand what it means, Lord, to have a healthy fear of you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. When you mention the word fear, and you look in the Bible, okay, when you mention this phrase, the fear of the Lord, you're going to see that phrase about 115 times. And guess what the word fear means? It means fear. Believe it or not. And there's always two types of fear in the Scriptures. There's negative fear and positive fear. Say that with me. Negative? Positive. So there's two types of fear we're talking about in Scriptures. You know, we fear many things. We fear the economy collapsing. We fear terrorism. We fear, earthquakes, whatever. That's a negative fear I'm talking about. this first part. That's a negative fear that we all understand. There's four weird phobias out there, and if you're like me, there's over 400 different phobias. Did you know that? Besides claustrophobia, besides fear of heights, here's four more weird ones I found this week. Collagenophobia, fear of beautiful women. There's something wrong with that boy. Spectrophobia, fear of looking at one's own reflection in the mirror. Yeah. Chromatophobia, excessive fear of money. Something wrong with that boy. Now, these first three are legitimate phobias that are real, that a psychologist or counselor would see. This last one is real special to me. Friar Tuckophobia, excessive fear of Jonathan. That's my nickname for him, by the way, Friar Tuck. So, I'm teasing. When we look at negative fear, though, when we talk about negative fear, a lot of people think that's what it means to fear God, to have a negative type fear of Him. And I'm telling you right now that if you obey God and you love God out of fear of hell or out of fear of punishment, that's a very bad motive. And you're not going to last long as a follower of Jesus. You're going to turn Christianity into legalism, a set of rules and regulations, you know, that you can follow so that you keep your fear intact. That's a very bad reason to love and honor God in your life. Come to these words in 1 John 4. And so we know and rely on the love of God for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us so that we may have confidence. Say it with me, confidence. On the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear, the word phobos, as we're going to see here, negative fear in love. But perfect love drives out negative fear because negative fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Now, as we said, the word for fear there is the word phobos, where we get the word phobia. And this is a negative type fear that Scripture teaches us that's like the fear of punishment, like a slave towards an abusive master. That kind of fear. Fear of, oh. And the Lord tells us that if you see God as mean and as abusive, you don't understand my love. He says in the end of there, the one who fears, the one who has negative, is not made perfect in love. You don't understand me, he's saying. You don't understand what it means that I love you. Okay? There was a baker preparing a wedding cake, and the couple had a very strange request. They wanted him to put the scripture, 1 John 4:18 on there, which we just read was perfect love drives out fear, and they wanted just the scripture reference in there. Unfortunately, the baker forgot to put the one in there and put John 4:18, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. Guess they didn't rehire him, huh? This idea of a father. I know for a lot of you in this room, you may have had very negative experiences. You may have grown up in a very abusive home where you were abused emotionally, physically, and maybe some of you sexually. And I'm sorry for that. And maybe when we use this phrase, fear of the Lord, you cringe. And you think of the phrase father, and it's a very negative image. And I'm here to tell you today that God is not like our fathers. And you may have grown up with a wonderful father, and that's great. But for those of you that have a negative image of he's not like your earthly dad. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is a beautiful Aramaic expression. It means daddy. If you go to Jerusalem today, you'll see little children following their dads. Abba, Abba, Abba. Daddy. And this is the positive fear. Then we say, fear the Lord. This is a positive fear that we're talking about. Because it is relational. It has to do with the relationship with God. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to phobos, to fear, to negative fear. But you received the spirit of adoption. Do you realize that you and I, who have been baptized into Christ, we are following Jesus, we have the same inheritance rights that Jesus does? Are y'all listening? Are y'all listening on this side? Are y'all listening on this? Y'all listening here? Amen, girl. You have the same, and you are adopted children of the King. Therefore, you're not a slave to fear. We're his sons and daughters. And you are royalty. Blood-bought royalty. See, it's how you see yourself. You base your God esteem, bases it all on how God sees you. Not how the world sees you, not how your friends see you. Base your esteem on how God sees you. Child of the King. So what does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, the Bible does answer it. In several places. Now, we could talk about this for a month, but I'll give you the basic foundation of it today. To fear the Lord, I hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. So you get the idea of somebody who fears the Lord is someone who hates evil. We never, ever hate people. We hate the sin. Why? Somebody who fears God is someone that what matters to God matters to you. What hurts God hurts you. Someone who fears the Lord hates evil. It matters to them what God thinks. It matters, and they hurt with God. And these organizations, and I'm ashamed to say, some people that call themselves followers of Jesus, picket soldiers' funerals. Picket funerals where people are needing love and encouragement. Instead, they fill it with their hate. And they do it in the name of Jesus and make him look very, very bad. Amen? And I like that little boy. He all he had was a little piece of paper, but he says, God hates no one. And the answer for the homosexual, the answer for the drug addict, the answer for the prostitute, it's not to hate them. It is to love them into the kingdom. People need love. They don't need your judgment. We love people. Separate the sin from the person. Love the person. Doesn't mean you're condoning what they do. You're loving them as created in the image of God. We love people into the kingdom. Let the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. And that's how we have generally translated the word fear. When you say fear the Lord, people say, oh, that means respect or reverence or awe, and that's where we stop. We stop there. That's a great place to start, by the way, but it's not the be-all, end-all. Because someone who fears the Lord understands their place before God. They understand who God is. They understand who they are. He is the potter. I am the clay. He is the creator. I'm the created. But when we say, you know, fearing the Lord, all it has to do with reverence and respect, you forgot a very important element. Why are you, what's your motive for being reverent and respectful of God? Why are you doing it? Negative fear or positive fear? The motive should be love. Just as a child has for their parents. And I'm telling you, if you had a negative experience growing up, this is going to be hard for you to grasp, but I want you to understand this. You fear and love your parents, and you don't want to disappoint them. Therefore, you love them and honor them. You not only revere and respect them, but you honor them. And the motive that you do it, reason you do it, is out of love. It may have started as a negative fear, a fear of punishment, but it should grow into a spirit of love. So fearing the Lord means this: out of enormous respect and love for God and what He has done, your life's desire is to honor and please Him. Your motive is not out of fear of punishment, but fear of hurting Him or making Him look bad. It's motivated by love. Many of you come from wonderful families, and your name of your family is respected in this community. As a child, you don't want to make your family look bad, right? That's having a healthy fear. And if you have a fear of the Lord, you're not wanting Him to look bad at your workplace, in your community, where you live, in your home. And it's because of love. Why is lying wrong? Some people will say, well, lying's wrong because the Bible says it's wrong. Well, I got a problem with that. Because if you say that, you're rule-keeping without understanding why. You're just obeying a bunch of rules. Well, lying's wrong. Well, yeah, it's wrong. Why is it wrong? Lying is wrong because it hurts God. It's the opposite of His character. God is truth. God is pure. God is holy. And when we lie, we hurt Him. We make Him look bad. Therefore, I don't lie because, not because the Bible says it's wrong, but because it hurts my Father. I don't want to hurt Him. I don't want to make His name look bad in this community. That's why lying is wrong. Minister was speaking, and he's told the congregation that next week I'm going to talk about lying, and for next week I want you to read Mark chapter 17. So the next week on Sunday he asked, okay, how many have read Mark chapter 17? And about half the congregation raised their hands. He then said, well, there's only 16 chapters in the Gospel of Mark, and now I'm going to proceed to talk about lying. Why don't we commit adultery? Why don't we drink alcohol? Why don't we... Is it just a checklist of rules? Or is it because, you know, I don't want to make my Father look bad? It's because of the relationship. If you do it without the relationship, you've got nothing but legalism. And a lot of churches are suffocating today. They're suffocating their people with legalism. You've got to follow the rules. You got to get your act together. Got to keep your nose clean. You know? Without the relationship, it's nothing. I love God. I serve God out of love for Him. And so many of us think that our obedience and our rules and our following the rules and regulations, we think we're, you know, I got to get my doctrine right. I got to get it all perfect. Let me tell you something. We are all growing. We are right with God because of the cross of Jesus Christ. End of story. You and I will stand before the judgment throne of Jesus Christ. One day, you and I, and every human being that's ever lived, what can you and I claim before the throne of God? Oh, I went to church. Oh, I did VBS. Oh, I was a missionary in Brazil and Africa. I'm still a sinner. What can you and I claim? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I'm trusting in the finished work of the cross. That's the basis and the end of my salvation. It's in Him that we are saved. Not because I get it all right. I'm still trying to get it right, aren't you? Because I'm learning. I'm growing. Our basis of our salvation is our faith and our trust in Jesus and His finished work on the cross. When you talk about the fear of the Lord, I think it is so important to understand that there is a balance in this, okay? Yes, there's a positive fear. I obey Him out of love. It's a relationship. Just as if I was a child and I'm fearing my father or mother and I'm wanting to do what's right, not want to make them look bad. But I think there's a reverence there too. And that's called knowing your place. Jesus says, do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I think there needs to be a reverence of understanding who you are and understanding who God is. It's not a flippant, yo, what's up, God? It is a respect and honor and reverence of who He is. And for those who were once Christians who have fallen away and have rejected Christ, there needs to be a warning to them in a loving way. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If someone has left Christ, they are apostate, they have rejected Him, it is a very dangerous situation to be in that frame. Will God forgive them if they turn back? Yes, absolutely. But if they die, and that, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Reverence, fear. There needs to be balance. There needs to be a positive, yes, I love you, Lord, Abba, Father. But there also needs to be a reverence for who He is. That makes sense? Am I making sense? Say amen? All right. We don't fear God because I think a lot of today is we're ignorant. And I think for a lot of us, we think we're awfully familiar with God. We've been in the church 50, 60 years. I know the Lord. Let me tell you something. You're going to spend all of eternity knowing the Lord. God's not something you figure out and throw Him aside. And I think for a lot of us, we have lost our awe of who God is. It's become so familiar. Songs, you know, it's all the same. Well, it's like somebody living at the Grand Canyon. You know, they've lived there 10, 15, 20 years. Oh, yeah, that's the Grand Canyon, yeah. Big whoop. They've lost their awe. I fear some of us have lost our awe of God and we have created a God in our image that we can control. A God that we're comfortable with. People call the man upstairs. How disrespectful. If Jesus Christ were to walk into this church, nobody would walk up to Him and say, hey, how you doing, Jesus? We would be on the floor. Because holiness and righteousness and purity has entered the room. And it's no wonder that Isaiah, who saw Jesus, woe to me, I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Or Ezekiel, after his vision, sat for 7 days, overwhelmed. Or even Job, who says, you know, I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? My eyes have seen you, therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Every person that encountered God were completely undone. There was a fear. Whoa! But do you know what the most popular and most repeated command in Scripture is? By the angels, by God Himself, don't be afraid. When people encounter God, they encounter Him, don't be afraid. God reassures, it's okay. Fearing the Lord means out of enormous respect and love for God and what He has done, your life's desire is to honor and please Him. It's not out of fear of punishment. It is a fear of hurting him or making him look bad. It's motivated always, always by love. So, what are the benefits of fearing the Lord? Let's walk through these in the last 5 minutes. Let's walk through these very quickly. Fearing the Lord keeps us from sin and its consequences. When someone fears God, it keeps them from doing the wrong thing. Proverbs 16, verse 6, through the love and faithfulness sin is atoned for, through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. I wonder, as we talked about Wednesday night, I wonder how many of us would live differently if we realized that Jesus Christ is not only within us, He's next to us as well. At the job place, in the community, at Walmart, He is in every conversation. How would we walk differently? Secondly, fearing the Lord teaches us how to live wisely. Everybody in here wants to live a life that is wise. They want to do the right thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. It's interesting, he says the same thing in Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's not only the beginning of knowledge, it is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom and knowledge are interchangeable in Scripture. Knowledge is the correct understanding of God, the world, and yourself. Wisdom is how to apply that knowledge to everyday life. A fool is someone who lives as if there is no God. You big dummy. Wisdom is how to apply that knowledge to everyday. How do we live wisely? We fear the Lord. We honor Him in everything. We live with Him by our side every step. Through fearing the Lord, we receive His love, His compassion, and forgiveness. I always love that picture. That's us. That's us. I'm holding the hammer. I'm holding the nail that crucified Him. He's holding me up. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Boy, you got that right. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. Honor Him, respect Him, revere Him, and love Him. This is one of my favorites from Psalm 130. If You, O Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? That's a great one. Nobody could stand. But with You, there is forgiveness. Therefore, You are what? Feared. It's amazing when your child messes up and they come to you and they ask for forgiveness. There's a reverence there for the parent. Same with God. By fearing the Lord, we will discover His will for our lives. Psalm 25 says it all. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the way chosen for them. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear Him. Notice there, He instructs, He confides, He guides you into His perfect will and purpose when you honor Him and revere Him in your life. Whoops. And when we fear the Lord, there's security and there's peace. That's how you should picture God. That beautiful photo of that boy and his father. That's how you should see God. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him. Boy, this is a great text. And He delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in it. Fear the Lord, you His holy people. For those who fear Him lack nothing. There's a security. There is a peace. We are provided for because we fear Him. Now, we've talked about what it means to fear the Lord and the benefits, but how do I know this is true? You know? How do I know that the fear of the Lord should be the foundation of my life? And I know a lot of you young people are asking that question. How can we trust that this is true? Solomon, in his diary called Ecclesiastes, this is a man that had everything. He pursued pleasure, he pursued women, sex, materialism, wealth, work. He had it all. 25 tons of gold delivered to his doorstep every year. There wasn't anything that Solomon didn't have that he wanted. And yet here is a man at the end of his life who says, life is meaningless without God. And he says to the young people in chapter 12, verse 1, remember your Creator when you are young. Remember Him. Here is a guy that had it all and said, my life is meaningless. And he ends the book of Ecclesiastes with these words, as we will close with today. Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all human beings. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it's good or evil. Let's pray. Father, I pray for greater fear and reverence and respect and honor for You in our lives. For those of us, Lord, who have been motivated out of fear of punishment, I pray that You will correct our misunderstandings, Lord, and help us have a correct understanding of what it means to fear You. Help us live our lives every day with that thought, that You are ever present with us. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, if we can assist you in any way through prayer, through baptism, won't you come as we stand and sing?
Grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on